Father, I just thank you and I praise you for your people who came out this morning to sit at your table and hear fresh manna from heaven. I thank you, God, that you're in control of all of our lives. You know exactly where we're at. You know exactly where you're trying to take us to. Now, Father God, I know that your word says you complete the works that you started. So I thank you, Father God, that you're still working in us, still changing, rearranging, taking us to a higher place in you. And Father God, I thank you that the ears are open this morning to hear what thus saith the Lord, that their hearts have been prepared, Father God, for the seed to land and take root. I thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers the seed that the enemy can't steal it. And we thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a lot going on out there in the world. And we as children of God, we need to be on top of what's going on. And we need to be aware of what's going on around about us. And we need to be aware of all this so we can tell those who don't know. We need to save those that are perishing. I want to read Revelations 14:9-11 because there's a lot of talk about the mark of the beast now. Now I read they're going to put a chip in your hand right here so that when you're working, go for your snack, they just, instead of carrying your money. Well, this is what Revelation 14:9 says about that. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image and whoever receives the mark of his name." Now, there's no question of what that says. You're not supposed to receive the mark, period. I don't know about you, but I'd rather carry some change in my pocket than go to hell, right? So if anybody asks, you just say, well, let's read Revelation 14:9-11, and that tells you exactly what you're supposed to do with any kind of a mark. When I prayed about what God wanted me to give this morning, he told me he wanted me to give John chapter 10. And John chapter 10 talks about Jesus as a good shepherd. Now, God spoke to me and said the Messiah is coming again. But before he comes, there's a work for to be done by the body of Christ. There's a special relationship between a shepherd and his sheep. And, if you'll really be listening at all times, say, God, my ears are attentive to your voice 24/7, then God is going to be able to speak to you any given time he wants to. So there is a special relationship between the shepherd and his sheep. A shepherd is a manager and a caretaker. He is the owner of his sheep and he loves them. All right? Any one of you in here that's a leader, you are a shepherd. And even if you're just sitting in this church, you're a shepherd of your fellow brothers and sisters also. And we aren't supposed to be killing the sheep. We're supposed to be protecting them and making sure the enemy can't come and devour them. Earmarked. One thing a shepherd does is he marks his sheep with an instrument called a killing knife. This may not sound very loving, but understand that sheep do not instinctively take care of themselves. It may hurt them, but the shepherd knows that temporary pain is ultimately good for the sheep. So he makes a distinct mark in their ear that identifies them as his own and cares for them almost like children. And as Christians, we are marked by the Holy Spirit. In such the same way, many of the trials and tests we go through can be quite painful while killing the flesh. However, the Holy Spirit knows that what he is doing in us is working toward our spiritual maturity. The question is, which do you think is worse, the pain of change or the pain of never changing? In John 10:11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd risks and lays down his own life for the sheep." There is so much we can learn about our relationship with Christ from the lesson about shepherds and sheep. John, let's read John 10, verse 1 through 11. Jesus said, "It is certainly true that when a man enters a sheep pen, he should use the gate. If he climbs in some other way, he is a robber. He is trying to steal the sheep. But the man who takes care of the sheep enters through the gate. He is the shepherd. The man who guards the gate opens the gate for the shepherd, and the sheep listen to the voice of the shepherd. He calls his own sheep, using their names, and he leads them out. He brings all of his sheep out, then he goes ahead of them and leads them. The sheep will follow him because they know his voice. But sheep will never follow someone they don't know. They will run away from him because they don't know his voice." Jesus told the people this story, but they did not understand what it meant. So Jesus said again, "I assure you, I am the gate for the sheep. All those who came before me were thieves and robbers. The sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will be able to come in and out and go out. They will find everything they need. A thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came to give life, life that is so full and good. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Now, there's so much turmoil going on in the world, and many don't understand what's going on in their life. You know, things are just going, seems like haywire all over the place. Every place you turn, I'm talking about your own individual life, every place you turn, there seems like there's trouble, there's chaos, there's just all kind of things going on around about you. You're going to have to know that Jesus is your good shepherd, and you're going to have to know he is the gateway into heaven. And without him, you're going to perish and be eternally lost, period. In John chapter 8, Jesus had been in a confrontation with the leaders of Israel, and they had rejected him. And they had declared their hatred of him, and they were on a course to kill him. By the time you get to John chapter 10, they have tried at least three times to bring about his death. There is no question what their view of Christ is. Now, in John chapter 8, there was a conflict and a confrontation. And Jesus escalated it by telling them the truth. Jesus said to them in John 8:44, "You're of your father the devil. He's a liar and a murderer, and so you are liars and murderers as well." So Jesus did not hold back the truth. He told them exactly where they were at. Because if you don't tell people exactly where they are at, then when you stand before the Father, their blood is going to be on your hands. And we've come to a place in Christ right now where we have to tell the truth, no matter who likes it or who does not like it. We could say that for them, the incident in chapter 8 ended in a very severe note. As a result, because he said, "You're of your father, the devil." As a result, John chapter 8 ends with these words, "Therefore they picked up stones to throw at Jesus. Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple." If you go clear back to John 5, they were trying to kill him then too. So Jesus escapes a stoning at this point, and by now he's absorbed in the crowd. And as he goes out of the gate of the temple, he sees a blind man begging. The man had been blind from birth, and Jesus stops and heals him. Even though, you know, they're trying to kill him, he stops and he heals them. Him. By then his enemies, the Pharisees, had caught up with him. They had slowed down the effort to kill him at the moment. Jesus had drawn the crowd's attention by the miracle. Once again, the Pharisees were deeply distressed by the fact that Jesus is having such popularity and that he has healed this man and drawn such attention to himself. The religious sponge will always want to kill you. All right? Those who are really walking in the truth are not going to be afraid of what the religious bunch have to say. In fact, God said, "Me tell the religious bunch, you have a religious spirit, and you need to get rid of it." You know, if you don't like happy music, then you have a religious spirit, because the devil does not like happy music. All right, he'd like for us to just go ahead and drone away. He does not want us to have the joy of the Lord ever. All right, they had the Pharisees had made a law. That law is in John chapter 9, verse 22, that if anyone confessed Jesus to be the Messiah, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Jesus healed the blind man, and then the blind man came to faith in Christ. As the story ends, it tells us in John 9, verse 38, the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. He was healed and he was saved. I really believe we would get our acts together and God could use us to put his glory full force in us, that we would be able to win souls to Christ because we healed them. You know, God used us to heal them. Or perform, you know, prophetic words, fine, but that's just really nothing per se. Whenever you have the miracle working power of Christ in you and they get a healing, that's more than a prophetic word. But God wants them to have a prophetic word, but don't get all excited just because you prophesied to somebody and it was right on. Where is your power and your authority in Christ? The man was healed physically and he was healed spiritually. And as a result of that, he violated their law. He has confessed him as Messiah, Lord, and Savior. They throw him out of the synagogue and they are still completely intent on killing Jesus. John chapter 9 features an extension of chapter 8 in the hostility of the religious leaders of Judaism toward Jesus. The healing of the blind man, in a sense, in the big drama of things, is somewhat incidental. The big picture here is that when Jesus does a monumental miracle that has no other explanation, because this is a man blind from birth and everybody knows it, it has no effect on how they feel about Jesus. They make no move in the direction of affirming something other than that he is satanic. In other words, it does not just, he performed a miracle. This man was blind from birth and everybody knew it, and Jesus prayed for him and he received his sight. Their hearts were so hard and they still did not change their mind about Jesus. All right. They make no move in the direction of affirming something other than that he is satanic. Their hostility has passed the point of any return. There's a lot sitting in the house of God with the same mind, heart. I mean, their heart is hardened to the point that they've gone to the point of no return. They are, in fact, demonstrating themselves to be false leaders who, instead of acknowledging their Messiah, they reject their Messiah and want to execute their Messiah. And these are the religious leaders of the time. All right? They are, in a word, the false shepherds of Israel. Shepherding was very common. Now, there's a reason that God wants you all to hear this, so listen intently until the end. Well, the end will be tonight at 8:30, all right? Because there's a part two. Shepherding was very common in the Old Testament as God was called the shepherd of Israel. We read in Psalm 81 and 2, "Shepherd of Israel, listen to us." See, they know, "Shepherd of Israel, listen to us. You lead your people like sheep. You sit on your throne above the cherub angels. Let us see you." And they say again in verse 2, "Shepherd of Israel, show your greatness to the tribes of Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Come and save your people." Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." And other places in the Bible talks about the Lord being a shepherd. They all understood that word because the land of Israel was full of sheep and shepherds. Shepherds spoke of care and feeding and protection. You have to care for the sheep, you have to feed them, and you have to protect them. These were men who appointed themselves shepherds of Israel, but they were false shepherds. Remember, everybody was this bishop one time, and I said, "God, why is there so many bishops?" He said, "They are self-appointed bishops, self-appointed shepherds. God had nothing to do with it." Truth is, they were wolves in sheep's clothing. In John chapter 9, after the healing of this man, they surface again with the same hatred and the same hostility. They still want to kill Jesus. Chapter 9 closes with Jesus pronouncing a judgment on them because of their blindness, because they are willfully blind to the truth. There's so many sitting in the house of God today that are willfully closing their eyes to the truth of God's word. The conversation specifically with them ends with these words: "Your sin remains. you are anything but righteous. You are in your sin. Jesus said that earlier when he said to them, you will die in your sin, and where I go, you will never come. You're not going to go to heaven, is what he just said, because you're going to die in your sin. A couple of chapters later, Jesus said, you remain in your sin, and your sin remains. This is happening in the body of Christ today. People, I don't care how much of the word they hear, I don't care how many revivals or anything else they go to, they never change. They still stay the same. All right, a couple chapters later, you remain in your sin remains. Here are the blind leaders of Israel, the blind leaders of the blind. Here are the false shepherds of Israel. As we come into John chapter 10, Jesus is still talking to them. They are still there. The blind man is still there. The disciples are there. The crowd of Jews is there by the location where the healing took place. And the Pharisee scribes are still there. Everybody's still there. Jesus then launches into a description of how a good shepherd conducts his life. Now see, you all are shepherds. So this is why, this is a salvation message, but God also wants you to know how to conduct yourself as a good shepherd. Barbara, you have the aglow. Anybody that's in your staff, they are your sheep, and you are their shepherd, and you should protect them and not let any wolves come after them. You should not be coming against anybody on your staff, because then you become the wolf, and then you open the door for other wolves to come in and devour. So, I mean, like me, I'm the shepherd of the sheep here, and I have to protect you, even though I know you're wrong. I still have to protect you and don't allow any wolves to come and devour you. Are you understanding this? When you start your home church, you are the shepherd of any sheep that come into your home, and you have to protect them no matter what the cost. All right? So this is what this is all about. First of all, it's a salvation message, but what God is getting across to you is that you are a shepherd. And you're supposed to be a good shepherd. All right, if in your home, if you're the head of your home, you are the shepherd in that home. And you have to protect your home no matter what. You know, like I'm the shepherd over my grandchildren. And I'm going to protect them no matter what. No wolf is going to come in and destroy my grandchildren. Are you understanding this? Your fathers, you're a shepherd over your wife and your children, and you should be protecting them, not doing harm to them. All right? Are y'all understanding this? You're supposed to be a good shepherd, taking care of your flock. All right, John 10, 1 through 6, Jesus said, it is certainly true that when a man enters a sheep pen, now, we've read this before. We're reading it again. I didn't make a mistake. We're reading it again because you have to understand this if you're going to go on with God. Jesus said, it is certainly true that when a man enters a sheep pen, he should use the gate. If he climbs in some other way, he is a robber and he is trying to steal the sheep. You're going to find many people come into your midst and try to steal your sheep. We've had that happen 3 times in this church. All right? No, verse 2 says, but the man who takes care of the sheep enters through the gate. He is the shepherd. The man who guards the gate opens a gate for the shepherd, and the sheep listen to the voice of the shepherd. He calls his own sheep using their names, and he leads them out. He brings all of his sheep out. Now, I'm going to explain this to you, so just listen to what you're hearing. Then he goes ahead of them and leads them. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. Doesn't God say the sheep know my voice? No other voice will they follow. But sheep will never follow someone they don't know. They will run away from him because they don't know his voice. And Jesus told the people the story, but they did not understand what he meant. Now, a shepherd has his own sheep. He knows his own sheep. I know every one of you. All right? That if a strange sheep comes in, I don't know anything about them. But I know you who are here all the time. He not only has the right to lead and feed his own sheep, but he has the responsibility to lead and feed his own sheep. Like I said, you guys, with your kids, You have the responsibility to lead and feed your children, your sheep. It's not somebody else's responsibility, it's your responsibility. John 10:3, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Now here's why he said that. At night the sheep would come into the village fold, and every shepherd would bring his sheep, and they would all be in the same fold. In other words, they were mixed up, all right? And then in the morning, the shepherd would come and call out his own sheep and call them by name. He knows his sheep, you know, from all the ones that are mixed in the fold. He knows his sheep. He calls them by name. The sheep know their master's voice, and they follow him. The sheep will not follow a stranger. We also know that while they're in the fold at night, thieves and robbers may try to climb over the wall and fleece the sheep or even slaughter the sheep. All right? So the shepherd would go and call his sheep by name, and they would come out of the fold of all the other sheep was in there because they knew their master's voice. Now, whenever you're hearing the voice of God, you should be so close to your Father, your good shepherd, that you can distinguish his voice from the devil's voice. And the devil will always say maybe just one word that contradicts anything God would ever say. But see, if you don't know the voice of God, you won't understand that, and you'll follow the other voice. All right? That's why you need to have your ears open and attuned to the voice of the Lord so that you know what his voice sounds like and how he talks. In the different things he would say to you. Because there are always thieves and robbers, a guard must sit at the door to protect the sheep. The shepherd is committed to protecting them at night while they are in the fold. And then in the morning, coming and leading them out, calling them by name one by one to green pastures and still waters. Now, If you're in a ministry and you have sheep under you, God's going to wake you up in the night and tell you to pray for them if they're in trouble. That dumb sheep's getting ready to drown itself. You know, it's getting ready to, it's went out of the sheepfold. It's ready to get in trouble, and he'll have you pray. And sometimes you get upset with that sheep, and you like to go mark its ear. They say that the reason why you see the sheep over the shoulders, I don't know if this is true, is because the sheep kept wandering off, and so they break one of their legs, and then they carry them until their leg heals, and that stops the sheep from wandering off. Some of you need your legs broke. Amen. Because you keep wandering off. All right, the shepherd is even the door, because they have to pass by him to be identified as his own. The reality comes clear when you look at the language in John verse 9. I am the door, Jesus said. If anyone comes through me, he will be saved. This is a picture of the salvation provided by the true shepherd. The divine shepherd has his own sheep. They've been given to him by the Father. They've been chosen before the foundation of the world. Listen to this. He knows them all by name. He has the right to call them. He calls them by name. They know his voice. They follow him. They will not follow a stranger. That's salvation. One time God said to me, Barbara, he said, see, I even know your name. Because I never, you know, he used to call me daughter and sweet thing and all that kind of stuff. One day he's upset to me, and he said, Barbara, he said, see, I even know your name. So God knows each one of our names, because we were called before the foundations of the world. Now, I'll explain that more later, too. The elect are in the fold of the world. Who's the elect? Us. And we are in the fold of the world, aren't we? All right? And we're dumb sheep, right? In the fold of the world. And we don't know enough not to follow the worldly sheep, do we? Sometimes we follow the worldly sheep. I was walking through the living room this morning, going back upstairs, and they were announcing this program is going to be coming on, and I was going up steps. I said, you know, God, I have to get a new mindset. Comes, I said, I always say, boy, do you see that filth that's on TV? Well, this was going to be a sort of a nice. It was down to earth. It's reality. You know what? What's some of the programs you used to watch a long time ago, guys? I can't remember them. Little Beaver and stuff like that. Well, you know, Little Beaver's gone. You know, we have Bad Beaver now, right? And this is what the TV's geared to, is what's going on in the world today. And what you see is really reality. It's really reality. And yet, you know, I think that's the problem. It blows my mind to watch reality, because I knew what reality really was. But today, this is reality. And I'm going to have to come to grips with the fact, okay, so these programs are there, but it's depicting what's really happening in the world. Little Beaver was really what was happening in the world. The Brady Bunch was what was happening in the world. But those days are gone. Now, and I have to gear myself up to the days we're living in now. And I can't avoid the truth. The truth is the world is dark. The people are destroyed in the world. I mean, their minds are corrupted. You know, the drugs and drinking and all the other kind of perversion. It's there. And if I don't come to truth with that and with grips with that, I'll never be a good shepherd. Right? Because I won't ever understand the sheep. When they come in and they do the things they do, and I can't stand and shake my head, I have to be aware of this is where the sheep are at today. All right? You do too, because you're a shepherd of some sort. Because you're going to get some really messed up people come through your doors. I don't care if you're in a home church. I don't care where you're having church. You're going to have messed up people come through your doors, and you're going to have to be able to deal with them. You're going to have to be able to love them. You're going to have to be able to protect them from the elements of the world. Even though they come in messed up, it's your job then as a shepherd, if you're shepherding them, it's your job then to train them and teach them in the ways of the Lord. It's not your job to say, well, I talk to them and I give them a prophetic word, and what they do with that is up to them. That's not what we're supposed to do. It takes patience, and the older you get, you find out you don't have as much patience as you used to have. And this is why God needs you younger little folk, because you're supposed to have patience with this messed up world. All right? And us older folks will stand by and say, go get them. Because our patients say, oh, just slap them good. But see, we can't do that. Amen? Just can't do that. I don't know, ma'am. The elect are in the fold of the world, but this time comes to call them out. And the voice of the shepherd calls, and they hear that voice, and they follow that voice. God had told me a couple weeks ago, no unclean thing shall ever come nigh thy dwelling place. So God at that point was calling me out of the fold of the world. I'm not supposed to be getting messed up with all that junk any longer. He's going to give that to somebody else in that need. He has something different he wants me to do. But there will come a time where God will say to you, okay, no unclean thing can come nigh thy dwelling place. So he'll pull you out of that fold of the world, and he'll place you where he needs you in his kingdom. All right? This is irresistible grace. This is the effectual call, the divine call to salvation. They will not follow a stranger. They will not follow a voice that's unfamiliar. Yes, there are thieves and robbers, false teachers, who try to climb into the fold and fleece and destroy the sheep. They can come to destroy and kill, but the shepherd provides protection for them from the false teachers. It's your job to supply protection to the sheep that you're over. All right? The shepherd leads them, goes before them, and they follow him. In other words, you should be an example to all the sheep that's under you. They're looking at you to see how you're walking with God. You're claiming to be a true child of God, so they're going to mirror their self after you, because after all, you know, this is how you're doing it, and you're my shepherd, so it's okay, because this is what you're doing, so I'll just do the same thing you're doing. I know Brother Christopher Gore spoke to somebody that we know and was telling them how a Christian family should be. And I guess he talked to them about, you know, husbands and wives should pray together every night. And his question was, do Christians really pray together at night? I said, no, but they should. You know, husbands and wives, they should. And that's the reason why you have so much trouble in your house is because you don't pray together. But, you know, he's asking me all these questions, and it's because Christopher stirred. I'm going to send him to you, all right? Christopher's the one that stirred. No, I don't mind. Christopher's the one that stirred all this up. He was a shepherd at that time, but he left the sheep to me. Amen. All right, the shepherd leads them, goes before them, and they follow him. He takes them in a safe way to green pastures, meaning spiritual blessing. Still waters, meaning spiritual blessings throughout time and all into eternity. I didn't say we would not have, your little sheep would not have problems. I didn't say that. But you are supposed to lead them in the way of Christ and teach them, and eventually they will be able to walk through the still waters. All right? John 10:10-21. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. So if you see all that destruction going on, that's a false teacher or false prophet or whatever. And Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. Are you a hireling or are you a good shepherd? You have to ask yourself that. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. A lot of shepherds do not lay down their life for the sheep. Sister Grace sent me a little email saying about how beautiful it was outside, and I wrote back to her, I don't know what it was like outside because I've been studying, because once God gave me this, you know how to study it, make sure I got it right. Then you get song service. It takes hours to get together, and then people complain about them. And I'm not out there, you know, visiting my family. I'm not out there in the yard enjoying my life. I'm in this little square room I have at the computer studying so I can get up here. Well, first of all, give you a good song service that's led by the Holy Spirit. Then get up here and give you a message that's supposed to feed you. You know, I don't have any downtime, as Grace calls it. All right? I have study time and kid time. That's all I've got. And I would like to get out from underneath some little bit of kid time. And I would like to go out and sit in a breeze on my front porch too. Or get on my motorcycle or in my car or on one of the bicycles and maybe enjoy life. But that's not my privilege right now. I'm a good shepherd. And I've given up my life for my sheep. That is the truth. Amen. I haven't been on a trip for I don't know how long. All right. Verse 15, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. In other words, there's people, all right, you put this on the web. There's people listen to my sermons all the time, and it's feeding them, and it's growing them, and they're becoming more like Christ. See? So I don't just lay down my life down for y'all, all of you. I lay it down for anybody that's listening. And you guys that are thinking about having home churches, that's how I started. You need to think, okay, now I'm going to be a shepherd over these sheep. So that means no more swimming pool time, no more late TV time, no more just whatever time. You don't have spare time anymore because time is so fleeting. You have to spend time with the Father so you can feed the sheep. So, you know, count the cost. Count the cost. All right, verse 17. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me. Jesus said, I laid down my own life, is what he said. See, I have chosen my own path. I have chosen to lay my life down. So then he says, because he did that, no one takes it from me. Can't take his life from him because he willingly laid it down. But I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. And this command I have received from my Father. See, if you willingly lay your life down for the sheep, then nobody can take your life from you, because you are the good shepherd. You're the shepherd that cares about your sheep. You're the shepherd that's going to lose sleep. Ask Larry, I hardly get any sleep at all. And, you know, I got finally 5 o'clock this morning. I said, I've got to lay down for a few hours. I'm really tired. About time I laid down, Larry's yanking by the foot. You've got to get up. I said, you've got to be kidding, too. Amen. Come on. Then verse 19 says, therefore there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. You know, the religious bunch didn't believe anything Jesus said. And the religious bunch isn't going to believe anything you say either. In verse 20, and many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? In verse 21, others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? See, there were some there that believed Jesus, and they were taken up for him. Contrary to the false shepherds who are the strangers, who are the thieves, who are the robbers and the hired hands, the true shepherd cares for his sheep. Who is the shepherd? Jesus is starting to give us a pretty good idea when in John 10, verse 9, he says, I am the door. I am the door. Shepherds were the door. At night, the sheep would go in, and the shepherd would drop his rod and stop every sheep, check them over for any kind of wound or any kind of problem, then lift the staff and let them go in. Wouldn't that be wonderful if shepherds really did that? Go stand in the back of my rod and say, stop! Turn around. I want to see if you've been wounded in this church today. Amen. Come on. In the morning, he would call them all. But really, truly, I do that. Because I'll call one of somebody else's staff. I said, did you notice how so-and-so was in church today? They weren't herself. Have you heard anything? What's going on with them? No, I didn't notice. But I noticed. The shepherd noticed. So then I take it before the Father. I said, okay, God, what is going on? You know, I took the easy way out first. I asked somebody. But then, see, the hard way is you have to sit in prayer. You have to take time to seek God's face. What's going on with this sheep? Is the sheep going to go astray? Is it going to be lost? What's going on? In the morning, the shepherd would call them all by name, and they had to pass by him into his care. The shepherd was the door. Jesus is saying, this shepherd, this faithful shepherd, this is how shepherding should be done. John 10, verse 11, he says specifically, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. Every time we had a church split, I said to the people, please, make sure you know what you're doing, because this is not of God. But they knew what they were doing, and so they left, and then they were scattered. Some of them still are not in church today, because the wolf came in, and I warned that the wolf was wise, made them believe that I was a demon, and he scattered the sheep. Well, you know, they, whatever it was, scattered the sheep. So that you're going to come in contact with that too. You, no matter how hard you try to shepherd your sheep, there's going to always be a wolf come in and try to scatter your sheep. All you can do is just tell them the truth. And if they don't believe the truth, there's not a thing you can't put a rope around them and tie them to a chair. You have to let them go their way and just say, God, they're in your hands. You take care of them. All right, so he flees because he's a hired hand or a hireling and is not concerned about the sheep. Usually when people come in and split a church, what happens is they're jealous of the pastor and they want to hurt the pastor, so they'll take the sheep. And really who gets hurt is the sheep, not the pastor. always remember that too. A division occurred again among the Jews because of Jesus' words in John 10:11-21. Many of them were saying, "He has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him?" Others were saying, "These are not the sayings of one who demon possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he?" And in verses 11-21, Jesus explains how he fulfills the identity of the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He is the one prophesied in Ezekiel 34, the good shepherd that God himself would send. Jesus launched into this particular figure of speech because the religious leaders of Israel were known as the shepherds of Israel, but they were false shepherds. So he distinguishes the false leaders from himself. And you have to do the very same thing. You have to distinguish who is a true leader and who is a false leader. And then you have to separate yourself from the false leaders, or they'll try to lead you astray. All right? He is a true shepherd of the sheep. They were blind. That's how the conversation with them ended in John 9:39-41. They were spiritually blind to the truth of God. They couldn't lead anybody anywhere because they couldn't see where they were going themselves. They are false leaders. 4 years ago, God said the false prophets are now on the scene. The false preachers are now on the scene. The antichrists, plural, are on the scene. So all that is already on the scene. And all that is going to try to usurp God's authority in you as a shepherd. All those things are going to try to steal your sheep. All right, Sister Grace, you are head of the flagging team. Anybody under you is your sheep. And you're supposed to shepherd them. You're supposed to protect them. You're not supposed to talk about them. You're supposed to cover them. You see what I'm saying? You're not supposed to say, "Well, are they trying to do me in?" No, these are your sheep. The enemy's trying to do you in. If he talks to your voice and tells you, then any of your sheep are trying to do you in. All right? And God's going to hold you accountable as a shepherd of these girls that are under you. You're supposed to lead them, train them, love them, nurture them. All right? See how this works? All right, I said they were false leaders. I think that's where I'm at. They are in fact strangers, not shepherds. They are hirelings, hired hands who do what they do for money and have no concern for the sheep. They are thieves. They are robbers who want to fleece and kill. I remember before I even started preaching or anything, there was a guy I worked with, and he said he started a church, and he said, "Them dumb people, they'll just give you money to your right and left. If you really want to make money, become a pastor." Amen. He said, "State will give you buildings and everything." And they did. They did all that. He got lost in a crowd somewhere. But I have news for him. I never got all that. I didn't even try. But see, what I'm saying is he was a false shepherd. He was in it for the monies and not for the souls. That's what I'm trying to get at with you. Jesus was talking about them in contrast to himself. Did they understand it? No, they did not. John 10:6, they didn't understand that those things were which he had been saying to them. Which is proof of what he said in John 9:39-41. You are blind, you do not understand. Whatever I say, you don't understand. He actually went so far as to say, because I tell you the truth, you don't understand because you are the father of the devil, who is a liar. As I was reading these scriptures and I was meditating what I was reading, I thought, we have those in a lighthouse. We have people who have sat in my house for years and years and years and still do not understand Jesus Christ. And that's a shame. Jesus said, because I tell you the truth, and they've heard the truth, you don't understand because you're of your father, the devil, who is a liar. If I lied, you would get it, is what Jesus is saying. But when I tell you the truth, you don't. The false leaders, thieves, robbers, strangers, hired hands have nothing in mind but protecting themselves. Always remember that. They are not about to risk their lives for the sheep, as we already read. They want the money, and if need be, they will become thieves and robbers to get it. They are strangers, not shepherds. All right, so as I said that, I remember that Gary Whetstone, he hired somebody, and I forgot how much money he fleeced out of the church. Before they found it out, they had to remove him. But see, everybody that comes into the church saying they want to serve God and help the church is not in for that. They are in it for the money that they can fleece. All right? So what I'm saying here is, if you're a shepherd, be watchful who you have under you, that they don't come in and destroy what God has built up through you. All right? They are strangers and not shepherds. However, the true shepherd is described here as one who loves and cares and for and nourishes and lives for and dies for the sheep. Wow. Some shepherds are going to have to get in shape. The true shepherd is described here as one who loves and cares for and nourishes and lives for and dies for the sheep. And as I was doing this evening service, I thought about different ones in here, and I thought about how when they first came, they weren't trying to build the church. It was trying to build their own ministry. But then how pride steps in, and when you get a new sheep, they think they're all that and then some, and they think that they have outgrown the shepherd. You know, and you have to watch for all these things, because whenever and they haven't even been here that long, and when they think they've outgrown the shepherd, then they become a false shepherd. And they're not in it for to heal the sheep or teach, feed the sheep. They're in it for their own gain, which is popularity. All right? I want you all to remember this. And that, of course, is none other than the Good Shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loves and cares for and nourishes and lives for and dies for the sheep. Ho, ho. It's not as simple as you thought, is it? There's a whole lot more to it being a shepherd than just being a shepherd, right? Just because you have reverend in front of your name does not mean you reverence Jesus. God just told me that, so I thought I'd say that. I thought that was pretty neat. A lot of people have reverend in front of their names that are never going to go to heaven. They've proved that over the years, because they will not change. They keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. Now, I'm going to finish this tonight. I hope you weren't bored this morning, because God said, I want you to teach him on John 10. And so, then you have to read and read and go back and read again. And I had Brother Larry have to look me up something that I couldn't find. And, you know, you get so tied up in this, but your mind is boggled because you have so many things going on in there. So, if you don't hear tonight's message, know this morning that if you're going to be a shepherd, you have to die. Plain and simple, have to die. Your flesh can no longer live. Amen. If you really care for your sheep, you're going to die out to your flesh totally and completely. And that's all I'm going to say now, because this is going into this evening's message. But this morning, God wants you to really think, do I really want to be a shepherd? And if I really want to be a shepherd, then I have to be a good shepherd. One who is willing to be rejected. One who is willing to be falsely accused. You know, I asked Brother Christopher Gore to do something for me last week, and he did exactly what I told him to do. It turned into the biggest mess, and he was so frustrated and so upset with himself. He thought he was a problem. I couldn't convince him he wasn't the problem, and finally got ironed out. But he beat himself up because he was trying to be a good shepherd. He was trying to follow his shepherd's word, which he did, and he really didn't do anything wrong. The person receiving it did the thing wrong. You understand this. So don't beat yourself up over something if the person you're trying to minister to won't receive it in the right manner. You gave what God said to give, and it doesn't matter how they took it. You know, that's up to them. God told me just give the word. Don't you try to work the word out in them. They have to work that out themselves. And see, poor Chris, he was all beside himself. And he said, I didn't mean to mess things up. I kept saying, you didn't. So I want you to know, you're not messing things up if you're doing what God tells you to do. It's the person doesn't want to change that you're dealing with. And so they're going to try to make you feel guilty. Don't feel guilty. I don't feel guilty anymore. I went through that phase. So I'm telling you, don't even go through that. Skip over that phase, all right? In your little teaching here, skip over the phase of guilt. You're following God. You're a good shepherd. You're doing what you know God is calling you for to do. Then just go forth and do it. For all those who want to be a good shepherd, remember you're a good shepherd. If you have kids, if you have a family, you're a shepherd over them. You know, just being in here, we're all shepherds of one another. We shouldn't be eating and devouring each other, right? And God said we shouldn't be in a corner licking our own wounds. I just heard him say that. You know, it's up for the other sheep to help nourish us back into the fold again. So if you want to be a good shepherd, God has a special anointing for you this morning, and he wants you to know something. He's saying everything that he's anointing you with in the last year and a half is because he's getting ready to put the true shepherds out there in the field to minister to the lost and dying sheep. So God's going to give you a special anointing this morning to make you a true shepherd. That anointing is going to be so rich and in full in you that wherever you go, whoever you minister to is going to feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and something in their life is going to hear God say, "It's like I can see it like an egg cracks wide open, and what's inside is going to be exposed, and God's going to be able to heal it, and then they'll be won't be wounded anymore, but they'll be true sheep." So the altar's open. Now you're getting an anointing to be a true shepherd, so whatever sheep God places before you will be healed.